You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
And save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, and I'm especially glad that our beloved guest is here today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
I am Tuscarora from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, and I'm enrolled at Prospect Longhouse. I'm Bear Clan also.
You're wonderful, and I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I know I so often say it, but it really is always true that it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be invited, to be included. You know, I really do appreciate it.
We appreciate you. We thank you for serving on the board of directors for our nonprofit, in our language and wisdom director, and in our wise council seat. We're thankful for you and all that you offer to the whole world through who you are. And I want to congratulate you on a major milestone in your life. You have been the Tuscarora teacher since 2015, which would mean a decade of service. And I want to make sure we highlight and praise and bless you for that.
I really do appreciate that. It does feel good to be acknowledged for that. But I really am not wired to be that person to go around and brag about the things that I do or ask for some sort of recognition for the things that I do that might help people. And so I know it has to be done, so I just keep doing what I know has to be done. Mm-hmm. And it's not until people will stop me and say, you know, thank you for teaching me this part of our language, or thank you for teaching my children, or thank you for the naming ceremony that you ran where you gave me my name. You know, it's not until those sorts of events happen that I stop and think, okay, I guess what I'm doing is helping people. And so that's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do appreciate it.
Well, I think that's why I celebrate you. I think that's why I celebrate you, because I know that you won't do it yourself. And you're modest and humble. And so I want folks to know the great things that you're doing. And you're certainly a blessing to our nonprofit. The great things you do encounter and empower us all. And I want us to celebrate you. And I want the community to know that Dawn Braveway is a great asset to our Native family. And we are very grateful to you and grateful for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Like I said, it does feel so good to be included. Exclusion is an unnecessary violence, and so being included always feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
It always feels good to be associated with such good people like you.
Thank you for that. I'm going to start quoting you. Exclusion is such an unnecessary violence. I agree. And I think in this day and age, community care, mutual aid, we have to celebrate one another. We have to bless one another. We have to do it. It's absolutely necessary to keep moving forward.
I was recently at, I'll tell you this story.
Yes.
I was recently invited by the North Carolina Association of Educators to speak at their annual conference in Raleigh. Yes, and it went very well. It was a great experience. There were so many people there, and you know me, I get a little nervous around crowds, and especially lots of people and lots of people I don't know, but there were some really great people who were running this program, this conference this year, who were amazing. And, you know, there was the president, Malika Butler, and she was just really put me at ease. So by the time I went on stage to speak, I was in a much better frame of mind, so because I wasn't so worried and uptight anymore. And so I was actually on stage in front of this huge amount of people. And just, but something that I noticed before I went on stage, when people were speaking with me outside of the auditorium, and there were these educators from all over the state at this event, and there were East Indian teachers there.
Mm-hmm.
There were African American teachers there. There mm-hmm. were Asian American teachers there. There were Euro American teachers there. And mm-hmm. there were some Native American teachers there. And mm-hmm. I really thought, like, humanity, all the races are being represented here in this one honorable group of people, the sacred educators.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed or augmented my speech on the fly there. So when I went on stage, what I spoke of was about the first thing that we give thanks for in the Tuscarora Thanksgiving Address. We call it the Hakanar Tetra.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that we give thanks for, we say, Unagiawa Yegwate Arutre, Disne Netwat Nene Haratis, Disne Twaya Ha Ekwe Gehatne. And that means, now today, we gather ourselves together and give greetings and thanks to each other and to all the different people of the world. That's the way our minds should be. And so I expounded on that when I was on stage, because I felt like all the different kinds of people of the world were being represented there in this one auditorium. And mm-hmm. so I spoke of our human family is interdependent upon each other for survival, not independent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the focus of that part of my speech. Now, I was there to give a land acknowledgement and speak about some other things, but I gave them the bonus plan.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you. And, you know, after I said this, I read energy. That's what I do. I'm an
mm-hmm.
empath.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just feel like the temperature in the room go to a very comfortable level. It's like there was this great
mm-hmm.
peace that fell over the room, the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I felt then even more comfortable just speaking. And because, you know, I think that sometimes there are different, people have different ideas about Native Americans, you know, and to paraphrase something that Benjamin Franklin said once, and that was that after all we've done to the Native Americans, what could they feel for us but hate? And so I am sure you have experienced this before, and I've experienced this before, but when I went on stage and spoke of, we give thanks to all the people, all the races of the people of the world, all the different ethnicities and races and just everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt very good. The response was very good. And yeah, we got standing ovations when we left the stage.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And again, that was what I needed to hear and see to know that what I was doing was well received. Because mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know how people are going to respond to me. I'm just going to get up here and I'm just going to say what I have to say. And, you know, then leave. And I really wasn't expecting anything. Really. But then when we, you know, got the standing ovation, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. That message was well received. I feel good about what I said then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did too.
So I said all of that just to say, just to elaborate on what you had said, that we are interdependent upon each other for survival, that we are one human family and we do need each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in this new dark age, it is so important to remember our humanity and our responsibility to each other as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love this. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Thank you that you did it, first of all. Thank you for going and for presenting those good words and good thoughts and good energy. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, because it encourages us. It uplifts us all. You know, when we do these things, all of us are better for it. I'm excited to congratulate you for that. I'm also excited about another open door that I see that is just wonderful, you know, absolutely wonderful. I know that anytime we have a chance to learn authentically from Indigenous voices directly, that is a great blessing. Right. You were mentioning how people have been, well, misinformation, disinformation about us. And so when we get to speak for ourselves, I'm always excited about that. And so I thank you that you're going to be speaking for Native people in a very special upcoming series of events. Would you tell us about that, please?
Yes. Back in November, during Native American Heritage Month, my little brother, Donnie, and I were invited to speak and give a presentation at one of the libraries in Raleigh. Actually, it's in Knightdale, but to somebody like me, that whole metropolis over there is just, it's all Raleigh.
Right.
technically, Knightdale. We gave this presentation about Tuscarora history here in North Carolina, our treaties that we have with the government. I spoke on our language, our history of the language, and gave a preview of a PBS documentary or video that I had narrated in the Tuscarora language exclusively. That's coming up in the next season, season 3 of PBS's Native America series.
Mm.
And so as a result of that, the supervisor for that program with the library there, she had gotten in touch with us and said that the response and the reception to that was very good.
Ooh.
And that they have events at the library there from time to time. And usually there's, I guess, meager attendance based on what I was hearing.
Ooh.
But she said that this presentation drew in it was at capacity. And there was a lot of buzz about our presentation afterwards. And so then she began speaking with some of the other Wake County, which is where Raleigh is, for people who don't know. And so then the manager of one of the other libraries said, well, we want those Tuscarora guys to come over here and speak at our library. And then somebody else, another manager, said, well, we want them over here too. So send them over here after, you know, they speak at your library. And so then other people were speaking up, and then she had this great idea. She said, look, why don't we just do this virtual series with the Tuscaroras, and then they can be in the same place at the same time across Wake County. And they were receptive to that idea, and so then she approached us with that idea and asked if we would be interested in doing that. So now we're going to be teaching a Tuscarora series through the Wake County Public Library System, beginning later this month on April 28th and running through June 10th. And then afterwards, they have suggested or floated the idea of possibly going and doing like an in-person series. So we're going to be discussing that next.
I feel like there's a lot to congratulate you about and to celebrate here. To start, congratulations on your partnership with PBS and being a part of this beautiful series, and your language and your voice will be part of making sure that Indigenous people are portrayed in a good way. And I think that is wonderful. So thank you and congratulations for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And then I get to congratulate you on this beautiful series that's coming up and how it all unfolded. You know, sometimes you just never know until you go. And when you step out and do something, then doors open and more doors open and bigger and better doors open and doors open and open and open. And it's just a wonderful journey to see you saying yes to these opportunities and bringing such beautiful representation of our gorgeous and sacred tribal people. This is wonderful. It really is. So, okay, let's talk about this, because I know there'll be people who want to attend, who want to hear your wisdom in this. I think about all the homeschool families who might be looking for a way to learn about Indigenous people, and I think about all of the students out there and teachers out there who might want to add this as part of their curriculum and think about it, and then people who are interested in knowing about the heritage around them, you know, people who maybe live in North Carolina but don't know a whole lot about the Native Nations of North Carolina. I think about all the doors it can open, even to our overseas friends, right, who don't necessarily have a way to interact with tribal people where they are that are from the United States. And so this is a great, wonderful series, and I'm really excited that you're doing it and that Brother Donnie is doing it. It's so wonderful, and I want everybody to be able to sign up, take part, be part of this. I mean, and here's the other part. I want everyone to think about this, too. If you care about tribal people, Indigenous people, no matter where in the world you are, you can join this series because it's on Zoom, and you can learn about a Native nation that is so prominent and has such dignity and great historical contributions. But also, we need to applaud agencies and organizations who do the right thing. You know, if we say that we want people represented, then when someone represents them, right? I mean, we want to let this organization know, yes, these speakers are a good idea. We love this kind of content. We appreciate Native voices. Thank you for uplifting Native voices. So please sign up. Please register. Please attend. Please share. Because we all have to do this together to promote this good and sacred event. So how do we do that?
Anyone can go to the website, of www.wake.gov/libraries. And that's Wake, WAKE.gov and /libraries. And can sign up for the series there. Registration is required to receive the Zoom link. So people will just need to register at that website.
All right. Well, we're all going to do that right now because we have to go to commercial. And so this is the perfect time for you to sign on to that website, sign up for these sessions. I did it. And it doesn't take much time at all. Again, it's free, right? So as my granddaddy used to say, no cost means no excuse for not going. And so we'll let you sign up right now. And when we come back, I'm going to ask our very special guest to please share with us some of the thoughts and ideas that will be shared in these workshops, just to get us excited about it. Now go sign up. We'll be right back.
To come and save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste. Because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I love this conversation because I love this guest so much. Really, truly. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Dwayne Brayboy. I am Tuscarora from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina. And my Tuscarora name is Runaguache, and I'm enrolled at Prospect Longhouse and Bear Clan.
I always feel honored and happy when I have a chance to spend time with you. And I know many of our friends who listen feel the same way. So thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you for saying so, and thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad that you're doing this beautiful series that's coming up. You know, this is so wonderful. This is what we say that we want. This is what we ask for: representation, accurate information, education. And so what are some of the topics and ideas and themes that you will be presenting in this terrific event?
Well, the first the first series or segment is going to be discussing and exploring Tuscarora life and Tuscaroras before and after contact. I'll be speaking on the ways that we used to live, our social structure, our spirituality, the things that we ate. What did we typically eat every day? You know, talk about life before then. And of course, we can't talk about us without referencing other people, because it wasn't ever just about us. It's about our neighbors and our extended families. And so our relationship to those people, you know, our neighbors and our further extended relatives up north in present day New York. So before contact, that's the sort of thing I'll be talking about. And then after contact, you know, how colonization destabilized Tuscarora culture, spirituality. You know, I don't want to focus on just the negative aspects of colonization, but there is a lot to be said there. but I just don't want to focus on the negatives. So, you know, there'll be opportunities to speak about, you know, new alliances and new friends. And, so we're going to be speaking about all of that and basically just the whole Tuscarora experience in the first segment. And then the second segment, it's going to be concerning the land, Tuscarora lands specifically, and treaties. Now, there's a lot to be said there, too, and I wonder how we could possibly begin to condense it all into one segment. But it is going to be talking about Tuscarora land and treaties. Where was our traditional territory? And then, you know, of course, just like every other Native nation, our territory today, those of us who survived colonization, mm-hmm. or have survived, mm-hmm. Where we're at today is so often not where we were 300 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to be speaking about the way that our territory contracted, and we used to have this huge territory across mm-hmm. southern Virginia, a lot of North Carolina, and, you know, down into the Cape Fear River area, close to the South Carolina border. And so we had this huge territory. And, you know, east of the Cherokee, we were the most powerful and influential nation in this area,
wow.
east of the Cherokee. And so then, of course, after colonization, you know, we needed our resources and our people and to come closer back to the core. So the original, the strongholds of the Tuscarora, so we were no longer expanding, we were then contracting. And, you know, so then that shape changed our territory, the shape of our territory, I should say, it changed. And so then there's culture, the cultural aspect, you know, what was our, I'm sorry, the treaties is what I was going to say. Not
mm-hmm.
culture. The treaties. And so as we came about these treaties in some very horrific ways.
Mm.
We paid for these treaties
mm-hmm.
With life and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the governor of North Carolina had, you know, something that was a method of controlling Native Americans
mm-hmm.
back in the colonial period was that the Europeans, immigrants, the government would kidnap or otherwise demand the children of the chiefs.
Oh, my.
And they would keep them to be sure that the chiefs of those tribes did, you know, they stayed in line and they did what the government said, or else they would kill their children. A lot of people don't realize that.
Right.
How brutal, mm-hmm. you know, the colonization was. I mean, so many people in the modern age, they just think of, oh, colonization. Okay, a bunch of Europeans came here and settled, and then they established a government and such, you know, and then there was less room for Native Americans, so they moved on to reservations and other things like that, you know, and like, it's not that simple. That's not the way. That sort of oversimplification causes a lot of misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's speaking about those treaties,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the ways that we came to some of these treaties, you know, like after the Tuscarora Wars ended, we who remained here in North Carolina, received, one of our treaties was Foreland, which established our Indian Woods Tuscarora Reservation in Bertie County, North Carolina. And so that treaty established the reservation. And so then we all went to go, well, most of us went to stay on the reservation. Some stayed around it, you know, in the area and such, but for, you know, whatever reason, did not want to go stay on the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's treaties to be spoken of. Then there's the third segment. I'm going to speak about Tuscarora language and culture, and you know that's where I'm going to shine.
Yes. Everyone, go to all the sessions, but this one, prepare to be dazzled.
Yeah. And so, you know, my little brother Donnie, I mean, he is excellent with the very minutiae of our treaties and, you know, the history and such. He is a superstar. So he is really, you know, we both together, I think that's why he and I collaborate so well together, is because, you know, we're always bouncing off of each other and learning things from each other. And, you know, this is great that I'm doing this with him. And so then there is the fourth segment, which is going to be about migrations and genealogy. And basically, you know, our migrations from the Tuscarora strongholds and Indian Woods Reservation in Bertie County down to present-day Robeson County area of North Carolina. And, you know, the way that we came there was that, you know, present-day Robeson County was our old hunting grounds. And so it was an area that was familiar to us. And so then after some settlers began encroaching and squatting on the edges of our reservation land, you know, the chiefs went to the governor and said, you know, that there are these settlers that are squatting on our lands. And then the governor would go and say, oh, they're just way over there on the edge of your land. They're not bothering anyone. Leave them alone. And so then more and more and more settlers started squatting on our reservation land, and they were afraid that they were, you know, I can only imagine that the chiefs were afraid that this was just going to be another way that they were going to end up, the settlers, taking all of our land. So what they did in 1766 was they created this a land lease. Because they, I'm expecting that they must have believed that if they didn't go the route of this land lease, they were going to end up losing all their land. Like, all their land got taken to begin with, you know, by the settlers when they came. So then we got confined to this small area of the reservation and the surrounding areas, and then they're taking that too. So at least the leases, the land leases, would list the Tuscarora as the rightful owners of that land. So even if they did squat on it and take it, we would still have these leases that prove that that is our land. So that was 1766. And I'm a descendant of three of the chiefs who signed that 1766. Land lease. Yeah. And so is Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So Donnie and I are both direct descendants of three of the chiefs who signed that 1766 Tuscarora land lease. And so what the chiefs did from there was they secured land grants from the government in present-day Robeson County to establish a new Tuscarora community where we would be free from settlers up that way and such, and that were causing so much trouble, because down in the swamps of Robeson County, it was undesirable land. And I guess they were probably thinking, who the settlers want are good farmlands up there and the fertile bottomlands of the Roanoke River and the Neuse and everything. You know, they're not going to want to come to the swamps. So they got land grants in the swamps and established a new Tuscarora community there. Mm-hmm. And that's how we ended up in Robeson County back in the 1700s.
Wow. Well, see, we're already learning so much. I mean, to hear these kinds of things and to hear them from someone who is a literal, actual descendant of leadership who made these things happen, I think that's a very unique experience. And I think we all have to sign up and we have to attend these wonderful lessons and lectures because this is a rare opportunity, right? For many people, we will never be able to hear directly from people who had agency and who know and are learning from these people. And so thank you so much for agreeing to teach these. So what else do I need to know right now when you say decolonizing, right? When you use the words decolonizing, what do you particularly mean by that? Decolonizing the Tuscarora experience. Let's start with what you mean by the word decolonizing.
Well, I'll start then with our Tuscarora word for decolonizing.
Excellent.
And that is Jiguariwachaguasnehaya. And this word means that we are returning our, or are in the process of returning our matters to their proper state.
Mm.
So this is what we mean by decolonizing. You know, I mean, I think that sometimes people hear, you know, we should be decolonizing and they think that we should build a longhouse and all go stay in a communal longhouse like we did 300 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily what we're saying. Although there are, there's a band of Tuscarora, SKN, in Bertie County. That band has relocated back to Bertie County on the reservation land. So we're taking it back. And they are, that band is establishing a communal environment there. You know, not necessarily in one big longhouse, but, you know, people can build houses, you know, on the land there that, you know, so they're this is what their vision is. And so that's literally part of how they want to decolonize, is get everybody back into the same village.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a beautiful vision to have. So, you know, decolonizing, you know, we are keeping the good and shedding the bad. And I think that what we have to notice or be cognizant of or identify is what is actually good and what is actually bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that's not always clearly defined.
Mm-hmm.
Such as some people think that, you know, drinking a lot of alcohol is not part of colonization.
Hmm.
And it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we didn't have alcohol here before colonization. And that was actually one of the ways that settlers would get Indian land, is that they would get the chiefs drunk on rum or brandy or something, and then they would get the chiefs, while they were drunk, to sign a document signing over so many acres of land to the unscrupulous settler, and that's how we lost some land. So, you know, I am a great advocate for sobriety and the good mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that alcohol or what we call mind changers is part of the good mind. So that's just me. But, that's just one example mm-hmm. of how we need to identify what's good for us and what's bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that part of the problem with alcohol is that, you know, Europeans have had alcohol forever. So, you know, they've had this, their metabolism,
mm-hmm.
you know, they know how their bodies, you know, can deal with the alcohol consumption, I think, in a more controlled way, I guess, maybe, than what natives who have never had it before did. Because mm-hmm. when Native American biology, you know, it just alcohol, we never had it before. So our metabolisms, you know, our bodies just don't really know how to deal with that. And so it would just cause disastrous effects. In fact, there was a period in time in North Carolina where you couldn't hold an Indian accountable for anything that they did while they were drunk, because it was that understood of the devastating effects that alcohol had on Native Americans.
Mm. Wow. I mean, just that tells me the kind of learning and growth that we will be blessed with in your series. I mean, to think about those kinds of issues is a privilege. I mean, so much farther beyond the Thanksgiving plays that schools do and animated feature films that supposedly tell about Indigenous people. I mean, this is real. This is truth. And it's coming directly from people who are truth tellers. We must all attend this. We must go. We must do it. It just is absolutely necessary. And especially for our young people and our college students and our families and educators. I want teachers to sign up. I want parents who are homeschooling to sign up. Authenticity, truth, integrity, that's what you'll find in this series. And I think we have had trouble finding it in a lot of different textbooks and other resources. And so now it's time to find it here. What is your hope for this amazing set of talks that you're doing?
My only real hope is that people benefit from it. I'm not thinking of myself in this. I'm only thinking that I have a lifetime of knowledge that I have a responsibility to share. And so if my knowledge can benefit other people, then it will have been worthwhile. And that's my only real goal here, is just to educate and therefore benefit people.
Well, that's a wonderful goal.
You know, that's actually, yes, mm-hmm. thank you. And actually, in our Tuscarora word for learning mm-hmm. is, or I'm sorry, like reading, mm-hmm. it's like say, got rihetiadi, is like I habitually read something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But a semi-reflexive, what we language geeks call a semi-reflexive, in that word, gaprihediati. And what the word to read means is like you're educating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's this benefactive to it.
Mm.
I like that about that
I love
word.
That. Oh, wow. Thank you for teaching us that. That's why our languages matter. Because the whole worldview, our perspective, is attached to them. Right? I mean, imagine instead of saying, okay, kids, you got to go to school, we actually used your concept and your word that education is a benefit and a blessing, not a chore or a task. I mean, I just see so much of that. Oh, that's marvelous. Language matters. And the courage you have shown in leading the language and reviving and restoring and preserving the languages, it's so important. And I thank you for doing it. What do you hope will happen to you? What do you hope will happen to you as a result of teaching these lessons?
I really haven't thought about that.
Well, you know, I think it is important. You just said that things have a benefit, right? I believe that. The Creator, you know, I know there's a popular notion in other theologies that, you know, God just uses you. He just uses you up. Well,
right.
No, thank you. I mean, it hurts to be used. It hurts to be discarded. It hurts to, you know, what God, I truly believe, does, the Creator does, is He blesses you to be a blessing. The Creator has given everyone something, a gift, a talent, a skill, an ability, knowledge, wisdom, personality, beauty, whatever it may be, that shows the world how much the Creator loves them. And so I believe that when the Creator blesses you, He truly blesses you to be a blessing. And then that's how you're blessed. That's how, you know, well, you know, like you do something wonderful for other people and you realize, hey, I feel better. I didn't do it for that, but
yes.
I do.
Yes, I do agree with that. And I do hope that's always been like a cornerstone of who I am as a person. I've always wanted to do the best for other people. And I don't know, I think I was just born with a soul that encouraged me or inspired me to just be that way. Mm-hmm. But then it was the benefit that I got back. You know, you bless other people and you get blessed in return. Once I realized, oh, this is a cycle. This is, you know, and so you put, you know, this goes back to our Orenda concept, you know, attached with or incorporated into our concept of Orenda, and that is what other people might call karma. You know, so, you know, you put good energy out into the world, and good energy will come back to you. You bless others, you get blessed in return. I do believe in that. So I hope for that. I suppose I am hoping for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I will believe for it with you that all of these good things will bless you as they bless others, because you are a tremendous blessing to so many lives. I am really excited about this, and I can't tell you how much it means for you to be a part of our nonprofit and what we do to empower people, especially from the Southeastern tribes, and educate non-natives about us. And so when I see you doing that very thing, you know, empowering Indigenous people and educating non-natives, I'm so excited because that literally is my mission. And so when I see it happening and unfolding in real life, I am, this is delightful, just delightful. So I want to make sure we tell everyone again how to register. And I really want to emphasize who should register. You are so humble, but I will just say it. Everyone. Yes, educators. Yes, students. Yes, homeschoolers. Oh, yes. People who enjoy history, people who love North Carolina or perhaps are from North Carolina or residents of North Carolina. Yes, people who are interested in Native America and learning more. Yes, 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 yes. But also, if you enjoy reality television, wow, have we got some stories for you. Because history, I mean, wow. If you enjoy true crime and mysteries and history and documentaries, wow, you need to be listening to this program, because beautiful lectures, these lessons, these sessions are going to have stories in them and information in them that you won't find anywhere else. If you love to read, yes, yes, join this and learn these things and then read more about them later. I feel that everyone, you know, we reach 160 countries, all 50 states of the United States, all of Canada. We want you to listen. And then there's another group I want to listen. People of a good mind. If justice and fairness and righteousness and kindness and compassion and diversity and embracing and inclusion and accessibility are all things that you care about, please sign up. Please attend. Because we want to tell these organizers that we want this. We want more of this. We thank them for allowing this to be presented, especially in this new dark age. And we want to let it be known that we care about these people, this content. It matters to us. You know, it doesn't have to happen to you for it to matter to you. It doesn't have to be about you for it to matter to you. We can care about other people and other cultures. So if you're a Native American person, of course you're going to want to join us for this. But if you're not, you're going to want to join us for this. If you're a person of a good mind and empathy and ethics and integrity. So that's why I'm saying everyone. Everyone. All people. Yes. All people. Everyone. Because these kinds of gatherings, this kind of genuine education is like a rare gem these days, and all of us must protect it. So how do we sign up?
We go to www.wake.gov/libraries. That's W-A-K-E, wake.gov/libraries.
All right, we're all doing it right now. We're not wasting any more time. We're going to do it right now. And we're going to attend these sessions. We're going to share them on social media, tell other people about them, that they're happening. And we're going to bring somebody with you, right? Sit down together, have a cup of tea or something, and learn and listen. This is so wonderful. I'm so glad we had this conversation and this time together.
I am too. I am always glad to be here. I'm always glad to talk to you. And you always bless me.
So
I always leave here feeling like the rest of my day is just going to go well.
Oh, well, any day with you in it is a good day. So I am so
thankful
for you. We love you so much. I want to make sure I say that and everyone hears it. We love you. We're thankful for you. You are so precious to us, and we are just so grateful every time you come and share with us. I already can't wait till you come back. Like, I'm already like, hey, I can't wait till your next conversation. But since I talk to you all day, every day anyway, I am so thankful that your love is a part of our lives.
And I feel just the same. Mm. Your goodness carries me through the day.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I loved this conversation, and I'm sure our friends who listened did too. And so I am already looking forward to when we're all together again to have another conversation with Dawn Karima. Oh, I'll see you then.
And save her, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the war forgave you. She's silent, she's
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back. Once a woman,
you've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.